to True Dominion Ministries podcast. I'm your host, Latonya Stevens, here with Christopher Stevens on May 1st, 2023. And we are here this morning with a lesson, a conversation, and
we're just talking about love, faith, and hope.
Okay.
In fact, love calls for you to give a part of yourself away.
You know, you brought me this topic last week, and I was asking God, okay, oh, what do you want to say, really? And he gave me beyond hope. But I want you to discuss what he gave you as far as the hope, love, and faith before I begin.
Well, to be honest with you, for me, it goes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Mm-hmm. And it reads, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Are we serious right now? And I put do not disturb on
that. It's okay.
And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. You know, that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot. Because you can give everything you got. You can give all that you have, mm-hmm. and not have love, mm-hmm. and lose and miss God all the way.
Yeah.
Lose out on everything that your works said that you should have accomplished. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I think that we don't really see love in the light that of what it is, really.
Okay.
You know, the Bible says that love is patient. You know what I'm saying? And when we look at patience, we see how long God waited for us. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And we see his patience with us, and we see that when we how long did it take you to come to Christ, first of all? You know what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
And I'm going to say, I was well in my 35, mm-hmm. close enough, mm-hmm. 33. It's been about 10 years now.
Okay. But
it took me 34 years to come to Christ. That's a long time. So all throughout the 33 years, he's been sitting there waiting patiently. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it says that love is kind. You know what I'm saying? So love don't really have a rebuttal. Love, mm-hmm. don't really have a kickback. It don't really, you know, that ain't really love. That's just like, you ain't going to shame me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But see, there's some things that we have to lay to the side. It said love does not boast. Mm-hmm. It doesn't boast in what I have the ability to do and what I can do and how strong I am at doing what I do, how well I do it. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to boast in me because it's not me doing it anyway.
That's right.
It's really God doing it through me.
That's right.
You know, and it says that love is not proud. Mm. And pride is a silent killer. Okay. Do you know what I'm saying? Because, yeah. Because we don't. It's something that you can't see from the out, from looking at it from yourself. It's something that you don't see.
In yourself.
You know what I'm saying? It sneak up on you so easily and
yes.
so quickly. You know what I'm saying? But it's the pride of life. It cuts you off from God. Mm. You know, and we sometimes it's the most hardest thing to discern about yourself. You know what I'm saying? And then we have the tendency to say, oh, them people haters. No, ooh. Them people see clearly ooh. What I can't see.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it's me, the one that's making a fool out of myself, because I'm never making a fool out of God. Mm. Because God said, hey, that's your name. That ain't my name. That's your name you operating on. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
It. Yeah.
And, but we see how pride can be so destructive, how it can be, mm-hmm. how it can be so detrimental to your walk with God. I mean, because if you get into it, not knowing you into it, you can... I'm going to say, you can put to death everything that God had accomplished in you. Mm. You can put to death everything that God had accomplished in you through pride. we see, we know that the devil, he operated in pride.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because he was seated above God,
right,
as one of the cherubims, and he had his wings was over God, so he had all this he had this authority in the kingdom of God. You know what I'm saying? So he felt like, God, I'm doing all this for you. I could be doing this for me. I can be you. God said, you can't be me, player. Remember, you were created. I put you in that position.
Yeah.
In the same position I put you in, I can take you out. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, and now too, he has been cast out of heaven and been cast into the air. And he's called the prince of the air, over this land right here. But he's just a prince. You know what I'm saying? The king still reigns.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? But everybody gets so caught up in what the prince is doing. But what about what the king already did? You know, there's a place for the prince. His place is already set. His place is already made. But our place has not yet been determined. Because God said we always have a chance. We always have a time to turn. We always have the ability to turn. At any time we get ready, we can turn. We can turn back to him. You know what I'm saying? But in all the actuality, that's kind of a hard thing to do, because as a, being an independent person for so long, you don't turn to nobody else.
Yeah.
You always seem to turn to yourself, because I'm sufficient for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm adequate for what it is that I need to do. But all in actuality, is God that's given us the faith to do the thing. It's God that's given us the will to get it done. You know what I'm saying? He the one giving us the strength to keep carrying on whatever it is that we carrying on in, because he is the creator. Right?
Amen. Amen.
But it says that love does not dishonor others. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't put you down so that I can look bigger or that I can be raised up to a higher standard. That love doesn't dishonor, but it lifts up. You know what I'm saying? Love is a word all by itself. It's in a category all by itself. It's not like any other thing else. You know what I'm saying? When Jesus gave his life, he gave his life because he loved us. You know what I'm saying? The Father gave his Son so that he give his life because he loved us. You know what I'm saying? The Father said, look, I love y'all so much, I'm willing to die for you. He said, I send my own Son to die this gruesome death so that you can have life again. You know what I'm saying? But we don't see it as it really is. Because all the actuality is, would you lay your child down to die for somebody you don't even know? For somebody that don't care about you, ain't going to turn to you, ain't going to say one word, ain't even going to bat an eye at you. You going to let your child die for somebody like that? Not me. Not me. You know what I'm saying? And you can say, oh, that's my humanism. No. That's just reality.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And look. Abraham was the only other person in scripture that was willing to do it. Ain't nobody outside of scripture willing to do it. I'm going to tell you, nobody outside of scripture willing to do that.
You're right.
You know,
right.
See, love doesn't dishonor others. You know what I'm saying? But it lifts others up. And then it said that love is not self-seeking. You know what I'm saying? It don't seek its own. You know what I'm saying? It ain't puffed up in itself. You know what I'm saying? It's liberated by what it can give. Love is liberated by what it can give, not by seeking what it can gain. You know what I'm saying? And I think that we've been so conditioned to what I get out of the deal.
Right.
You know, what's in it for me?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Where am I going? If I do this for you, what you gonna do for me? You know, and it has become, I wash your back if you wash mine. You know what I'm saying? But that's not love, because love ain't seeking what it can get from you. It's always seeking what it can get to you.
Yeah.
What it can give to you. For God so loved the world that he gave. And that's what love is all about. It's all about giving, not expecting nothing in return. Because when you expect something in return, you always end up on the losing side of the stick. You always fail at what you was trying to accomplish because your hand was like this. Weigh mine. You know, and I think that we as people, we have been conditioned to do that, to be that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Gimme, 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 gimme. But what about giving of yourself? Mm-hmm. Freely. Love you. I mean, it don't cost you nothing to give love. It don't cost you one thing to give love. All you got to do is give it. If it return, great. If it don't, great.
Well, it costs you the pride. Well, you have to give up. You have to give up you.
Well, if pride doesn't abide in you, then you wouldn't have to worry about your pride being hurt, mm-hmm, or your ego being bruised.
But it goes back to you saying it's the last thing we discern in ourselves.
It is. It is. Pride is the last thing that we discern in ourselves. And it says that love does not anger easily. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you can see how people can get mad quick. I'm talking about you say five words and they get mad quick.
Amen.
Wait a minute. that's not Amen. The fruit of love.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can say all day, I love you. You know what I'm saying? But that don't necessarily make it true. Mm-hmm. Because I can speak a thing and it not be true. God said, you say it with your mouth, but your heart far from it. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, you talking good. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, do you really mean that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. It's not easily angered. You know what I'm saying? Look how long God been holding his wrath back. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? How many times you did something so crazy, you knew it was wrong. Mm-hmm. And you said, you know what, I'm going to do it anyway. But God held his rabbit. He didn't get angry. He didn't do none of that. He still kept breathing on you. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Because he knew that you had the ability to fall. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then it said it keeps no records of wrong. It keeps no records of wrong. Love keeps no records of wrong. Yeah, I know you did it. But, you know what I'm saying? That's ancient history. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I live. I know you did some messed up stuff, but hey, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? On to the next. Mm-hmm. Let's move on past that. Let's keep going. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think that's more about forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? You cannot be forgiven if you're not willing to forgive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that when we don't understand of the fact of having the ability to forgive people for what they did, what they said, how they treated us, how it made us feel, you know what I'm saying? Then we don't have the ability to go to God and ask God, God, will you forgive me for the sins that I committed? Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because he said that's the prerequisite of me forgiving you is you forgive them.
Right.
Jesus said, forgive them not what they do. Forgive them, mm-hmm, for what they did to me. Mm-hmm. They beat me. Father. They beat me. Mm-hmm. Father. Irrecognizable. Mm-hmm. But though, please, forgive them. Mm-hmm. Don't lay this at their charge. You know what I'm saying? They was just doing what was predestined for them to do to me, mm-hmm, so that I could be who you created me to be. Mm. You know? It said it doesn't delight in evil. So when somebody else do some crazy stuff, and then you be like, now I'm not saying that the person that they did it to wasn't deserving of it. Mm-hmm. They could have been just as well as deserving of it. But that doesn't mean that you're supposed to delight in what they did.
Right.
To the person. Because it wasn't right.
Right.
If the shoe was on the other foot and it was being done to them, they'd be like, oh, I didn't deserve that.
Right.
So when we look at this word, it's like we don't supposed to delight in that thing. You know what I'm saying? Though it may be deserving. Mm-hmm. Grace and mercy that God has given you, same thing you're supposed to give to somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mercy, I shouldn't be here, but by God's mercy, I'm here. He had mercy on me. You know what I'm saying? I should have been in prison, but I'm not in prison. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And we have to look at it from that standpoint. He doesn't, the love that it doesn't delight in wrongdoing and evil. It doesn't delight in that. because that's not supposed, that's not who we supposed to be. But it rejoices with truth. Mm-hmm. It rejoices with the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it hurt you.
Yeah.
To tell the truth.
Right.
But that's also breaking the back of pride. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's a break. Sometimes that breaks you.
Yeah.
Because the truth may you look foolish.
Yeah.
The truth make you look bad sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think that if we can get past the way it make us look, then we can understand and we can see the fruit of how it made us feel after it was all said and done.
Yeah.
Because though it may hurt you in the present, mm-hmm. at the end of all that pain, you're going to be relieved that, whew, I got that up off of me. I got that up off of me. Mm-hmm. It protects.
Yeah.
It protects. Mm. And it always trusts. It protects those that they love. You know what I'm saying? And we're supposed to love everybody. But it protects. It doesn't. Y'all see what she did, right? Mm-hmm. It don't put people on blast. Mm. It don't put their wrongs up on display. Mm. And say, oh, I'm better than them because they did this and da 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 da. And we always pointing the finger. You know what I'm saying? But that's not what love does. It protects. Even though you're wrong. You know what I'm saying? I can still cover you. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna put that out there like that. I ain't gonna let you look bad like that, because everybody has that human part of them that has the ability to fall. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't gonna let it be seen that I was the one contributing to your fault.
You know what? Who I think about when you say that is Ham and Moses. No, Noah and Moses, when his son uncovered his nakedness.
No, that wasn't Moses.
I said not Moses. I said Noah.
Yeah, Noah.
I don't know why I said Moses, but it was Noah and Ham, his son Ham, and he uncovered his father's nakedness. You know, and that's I know that's not, that's in the context of flesh, you know, and not putting somebody on blast, but it is in the same context of revealing somebody's
shame. Or somebody's nakedness.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it said it always hopes. It always perseveres. Mm-hmm. Always hopes. It's always looking for the best.
Yeah.
It's always hoping the outcome is great.
Yeah.
It's always perseveres. It's always, you know what I'm saying? I'm still holding on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? God, it ain't happened yet, but I know it's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? I know it's gonna work in my favor. I know God, your word says that all things work together for the good of them that love you and to them that are called according to your purpose. God, I know it's gonna work out. I know it's gonna work out. I got hope. It's gonna work. It's gonna work. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it never fails. It never fails. Love never fails. Mm-hmm. It don't fall short. It never fails.
Yeah.
But the prophecies, they gonna cease. Mm-hmm. They gonna stop coming. The tongues, they gonna be still. And the knowledge, this worldly knowledge, it's gonna pass away. Mm-hmm. You know, the disciples was talking about the Pharisees was talking about the disciples and what they was gonna do to him, and one of the Pharisees spoke up. He said, Hey, if this thing is of God, then you will find yourself fighting against God. He said, if it's a man, it's going to pass away. Mm-hmm. He said, it's going to come to nothing. It ain't going to be nothing. If it's a man, it ain't going to become nothing. Mm. He said, it's going to die when they die.
That's what
he said. But if it's of God, you will have found yourself fighting against God. Mm. He said, so let these men alone, and time will reveal the truth.
That's right.
Time itself will reveal the truth. But that's what I was talking about. I was just talking about the love aspect of it. We still gonna go through hope and faith, but I was just talking about the love aspect of it for this moment. But what's your thoughts on the scripture about love? The scriptures about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It isn't proud. And it doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. And it doesn't anger easily. It keeps no records of wrong. And it doesn't delight in evil. But it rejoices with the truth. Protects and always trusts. Always hopes. Always preserves. Love is enough.
To me, it shows me. Whether I am or not. To me, it shows me and it tells me and it identifies when I am not representing love, when I am not walking in love, when I am not showing love, when that hidden pride is in more effect than love. Mm-hmm. It shows me that I'm not walking in the ways of God when I'm not loving. And with love, I think telling somebody to love and showing somebody how to love is two totally different things. Mm-hmm. And we can sit here and we can quote the scriptures and we can say, you need to love one another. You need to love God with all your heart. But what does that look like? If you haven't seen it, yeah, we have this word. Yeah, we have this Bible. Yeah, you know, the scriptures show us who did love God, who had the heart of God. And yes, that is what's supposed to convict us and show us how we're supposed to. It's supposed to be our example. Jesus is our example.
Yes.
But what happens when you look in the world today and you don't see what you read? What happens when you look in the world and you don't see the patience? You don't see the kindness? You don't see, you know, the, what it also says is long suffering, doesn't it? You know, we want everything like this, you know, very quickly. So what happens when what we're surrounded by and in our atmosphere doesn't resemble who God is and what he said we are supposed to be? Then that's when I think, when I read the scripture about love, when I hear the scripture about love, it shows me that I can't do this within myself. Mm-hmm. That's not something I can just say, oh, well, I mean, you can. I don't want to say you can't say that, but I understand my limitations. I do understand my human side. And I do understand that I'm not responsible for how somebody else treats me, but I am responsible for how I treat somebody else.
Right.
And so if I take the eyes off of people, mm-hmm. and if I take the eyes off of the world, and if I take the eyes off of what's familiar, then I can then become and walk and be like Christ. Because that's the ultimate goal.
Yes.
So I think the scriptures of what it says is a revealer in itself. Mm-hmm.
What is your take on the side of hope?
Hope, he spoke to me and he was talking about beyond hope. And sometimes we don't take the time to realize that people are hopeless. In this world today, we have had more deaths than we have had in our whole lifetime in the past 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. And whether it's through sickness, whether it's through death of others, whether it's through financial losses, you know, people lost businesses, people lost families, people lost their life savings, people lost, you know, their hope in a lot of things over the last 3 or 4 years, even their hope in Christ. Because, and not to knock down the message of prosperity, but everybody's not there. And somebody who's not there may feel like, well, what am I doing wrong? Why don't I feel what they feel? Why am I not as close to God as they're close to God? Has God forgotten about me? You know, and it brought me to a couple of people that I thought about as he gave me this. I thought about David and Bathsheba when they lost their son. And what the fasting and the weeping and everything that he did in that moment beyond hope. His child is sick. beyond hope. My child is dying. You know, and the child did die. Naomi and Ruth. You know, her son, her husband, gone. Ruth, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. You know, hopeless or someone full of hope, following someone who is kind of hopeless in a way. Then I think about the three Hebrew boys in the fire. Now their hope is in God. But when you look at that, hope wasn't lost, but their faith and their trust in God was what got them out of that fire.
Yeah, because what they said was, "O king, we are not so careful to answer you in this matter." Exactly. That's what they said, "O king."
Exactly.
He said, "But our God,
right?
He can deliver. He will deliver us."
Right. And I won't look at them as being hopeless, but that's what I'm saying is that's beyond the point of hope where you're in the fire. Not that the fire is coming, not that the fire has started, but you're in the fire. You know, and the Daniel and the lion's den, beyond hope, you're there now. You know what I'm saying? You mm-hmm. lost your job now. Your mother is gone now. Your father is gone now. Your sisters, your brothers, they're gone now. You know, your job, your money is gone now. Your hope is gone. You know, you're in that thing. You're walking through it. We call it the valley sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is the place where you learn and where I feel like these people learned that of who Jehovah Nissi was. The Lord will provide. This is the place where you find out what God can do and where he is and that he's always been there and that he's never left you or forsaken you. He's just waiting for you to, like what you was talking about, to return. He's waiting on you to hope and trust in him. And this,
you know, when you say that, you know, that take me to a scripture. It said, "They that wait upon the Lord, mm-hmm. he shall renew their strength.
Right.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Mm-hmm. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint."
Yes. Yes. But this is the passage that I want to read. And it's beyond hope, if you can have the mindset of someone being beyond hope. And it's Luke chapter 18, verse 35 through 43. And it says, "Then it happened as he," talking about Jesus, "was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man," now he's already in the state of blindness, "a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he cried out, saying, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, 'What do you want me to do for you?' He said, 'Lord, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God." I look at this blind man and I say, you know, okay, he's beyond hope. He's already in this state of being blind. We don't have the history of if he was born blind or if he went blind in the middle of his life or recently or anything like that. But your sight is something that is very valuable, but you don't realize it until it's gone, right? And when I thought about this, I said, okay, his state was being blind, but he knew what to ask God for. He didn't ask for his sight first. He asked God, "Have mercy on me." And I feel like we skip past that prayer. We skip past that request. "Lord, have mercy on me." We need mercy every day. Mm-hmm. You know, and when Jesus comes to him and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" God, he's asking all of us that. What can I do for you? Because like you said, his love gives. You know, mm-hmm. But don't feel like we, as a people, as a body of Christ, have made Jesus Christ that real to someone who is on the outside with no hope. Have we loved like him? Have we forgiven like him? Have we walked like him? Have we chose to do the right thing like him? Have we chose to pray for the people who, like you say, don't want nothing else to do with us? Never mind laying down your son for him, for somebody that don't like you. But just praying for somebody that don't like you. You know, mm-hmm. And this thing about mercy has become a daily prayer, because I don't want to skip by asking him for mercy and grace. We know we say, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. But do we ever consider that he might hold back that mercy one day? Or choose that, not that you're so far gone that he won't have mercy on you, but honoring him as holy, to understand that we still have to ask for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And my last part about this was, he said, receive your sight, your faith has made you well. And it took me back to Hebrews 11:1, where it says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. This was a blind man that could not see. Mm-hmm. The evidence of things he could not see. He couldn't see Jesus. Just like we can't see Jesus right now in the physical.
He was like, hey, what's all the noise? What's all that ruckus about? What's going on? They said, Jesus is passing by.
He knew who he was, but he could not see him.
He called him out. He said, son of David. Jesus said, wait a minute. How he know this me? But David was busy saying, Lord.
Yeah. But the mercy that he asked for, he could not see Jesus.
There was a revelation in that.
But he asked for mercy first before he ever asked for his sight. And I believe that it's a people that are in a state right now that is beyond hope. You know, people might have left them. People might have given up on them. Or, you know, things have changed, or you know, everything that they've known is now gone, or you know, maybe God sent them in a different way that they're not used to. Whatever it is, you know, hope for the, you know, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith and hope go together.
They do. They're both embedded in that scripture together.
Yes. Because hope is to desire with expectation of attainment.
Yeah.
So all he did was, he was expecting that when he asked that he would receive his sight. Has God become real to us yet? Has Jesus become real to us yet? Has the Holy Spirit become real to us yet? That we honor him as holy enough to lay down our crown, to lay down our pride, or just period, just lay down. Just lay down and say, have mercy on me, Lord. And then he shall come to you and ask you what you need.
See, I think that's a humbling place to be. It brings you to humility. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where it's like you're not acting on your feelings. You acting on what you know to be true.
Yes.
You know, the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Mm-hmm. It says, but when the desire comes, that it's a tree of life. Mm-hmm. Hope is expected. It's expecting something to happen, but not from man to man. It's from man to God. It's about us knowing that God, all sovereign, all powerful, as he is, knowing that he sees everything, he knows everything, mm-hmm. that he has the ability to do this thing that I'm hoping that he would do and expecting that he would do it.
Absolutely.
when it comes, when the thing that I hope for comes, it becomes a tree of life to me. It gives me strength. It gives me hope. It gives me that extra oomph I need to go forward. But until it comes, we go weary and we'll do it. Mm-hmm. But it says that we should not go weary. He said, don't do that. Mm-hmm. He said, because I'm coming. But just like I was patient with you for 33 years, I need you to be patient with me. Mm. All these things, they tie together.
Yeah.
They wrap up in one tight package, love, faith, and hope. You know what I'm saying? Faith, you know what I'm saying? We can talk about faith all day because the church has no problem talking about faith. Mm-hmm. Oh, it takes faith to please God. And this we understand.
Right.
We understand because it has been preached frontwards and backwards, upwards and downwards. I mean, diagonal. It has been on the Mason-Dixon line going clean across America. It has been preached that faith is the only thing that pleases God. Mm-hmm. Faith is you can't do nothing without faith. You can't do nothing without faith. Yeah. And faith is it. Mm-hmm. But if you miss love, mm-hmm. Man, faith ain't enough to suffice. Yeah. You know, faith ain't gonna get you in heaven.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Faith, you got to have some love up in there. Mm-hmm. Because God said by loving kindness have I drawn you. So by loving kindness you're gonna draw somebody else. He said that's the only thing that's gonna be suffice for you to come. He said my grace is sufficient for you, but I need you to know that love is it.
Right.
He said, above all this hope and above all faith, he said, it's love. Mm-hmm. Above all those, it's love. He said, you right here, you sounding like a brass cymbal and stuff, you a clean cymbal and things. He said, you just loud. Mm. He said, you just loud and everybody hear you. Mm. He said, but there ain't no substance with you.
Okay.
He said, I need you to love just the way I love. Mm. And I know that can be hard sometimes. I understand that can be very, very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we don't know how to live. We didn't have that example.
Well, I think we
all want it.
Yeah, we do. But I think we treat God like we treat man. And that's the dangerous part. Mm. Or we expect God to treat us like man treats us. Mm. And that's the dangerous part, because then we devalue him and we minimize him to mere flesh and bones. Mm. And so that's why I say, can we show anybody and can we be shown that God is real to us in our heart? In our minds, in our souls, not just merely quoting and repeating what we've heard and reading what we've read, but really knowing that he dwells in me.
You know, I think that's why the Bible say, of all you get an understanding. He said, because I know you can read the Bible. Mm-hmm. He said, I know you can quote it.
The letter.
Because you have the ability to remember what was said. He said, but I need you above all that knowledge you got, mm-hmm. above all that thing that you can remember. Mm-hmm. He said, get understanding.
That's right.
He said, understand who I am. Mm-hmm. Understand what I'm saying. He said, because you can read it and you can tell somebody what it say. Mm-hmm. He said, but you can't, in yourself, you can't understand it. Mm. Because it's foolish to the fleshly thing. Mm. He said, but it's wise to the man that will heed to it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's the man that understands what is being said. He said he can live off of that alone. Mm. You know what I'm saying? This Bible is in Psalms 62:5-6, and it says, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation or my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved. Only he. My hope can only be in him. My expectation can only be in him. Because in him, I ain't moved. In him, I will not be silent. In him is my defense. He is my salvation. It doesn't come from anything outside of him. And I think that we've been looking on the outside.
Yeah.
We've been looking on the outside for something that only he can give.
Mm-hmm.
And people have been hurt because they have been looking in the wrong place. You know what I'm saying? They just been looking in the wrong place. The Bible says in Romans 8, 38 and 39, it said, I'm persuaded that death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It said, not any created thing. Not any created thing. That lets me know that everything was created. God created it all. He's whether that's death or life, he created it.
Mm-hmm.
Angels and principalities, he created it.
That's right.
Because principalities were angels.
Mm.
So, but they failed.
Yeah.
So then they became, but yet and still, God created it. You know what I'm saying? And he said the things present and the things to come. He didn't say nothing about the past. He said present and to come. He said, I created it. He said, because I'm in the present all the time, but I'm still ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So he created all this thing, and not height nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love. From the love. I mean, there's so many things that we do, you know what I'm saying, that don't even resemble love.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, nothing that you do, nothing that you say, nowhere you go, gonna separate you from my love. Nothing can separate you from my love. He said, if you make your bed in heaven, I'll be there. He said, but if you make your bed in hell, I'm going to be there also.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you can't be separated from my love. But because you did the thing that wouldn't allow you to be with me, because you did the thing, you separated yourself from me by not allowing me to be with you. He said, you put yourself in a place. He said, but I'm still there. He said, I'm still there. He said, but I can't go against my word now. He said, I can't go against my word because my word stands.
Right.
When everything else fails, when everything else falls, he said, my word gonna stand. He said, so when I say depart, because I didn't know you, I can't go past that.
Mm.
And that's what we have to understand. God can't go past his word.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I want that. He said, seek me first. He said, seek me first.
Yeah.
And all these other things will be added to you. But we have the problem with seeking him when he is the essence of everything else. He is the essence of the peace. He is the essence of the joy. He is the essence of being liberated. He is the essence of being free. He is the essence, but we can't get to the essence without seeking what's in his hand. Mm. We can't get to the essence. I tell you, peace is more valuable.
Yes.
It's more valuable than the millions.
Yes.
Because there are people with millions that don't have no peace and killing themselves.
Mm.
There are people that are sitting in high places, are seated in high places and going crazy.
I like to tell that testimony about Reinhard Bonnke. And he said he had to pay $50 a month for a building that he was preaching out of. And it was hard back then. It was probably like the 60s, 50s, or whatever it was. And he just was having a hard time paying this $50. And God asked him, do you want me to give you $1 million? And he thought about it for a second. And he said, no, Lord, I just want 1 million souls. That is the heart of God. Not $1 million. When you put the value on the thing, versus putting the value on him. Now you just told us where your heart is. And that stays with me. That testimony stays with me so much because I never want to be to the place where money, millions, billions, trillions, whatever it is more valuable than my peace, than my God, than his love, than his mercy, than his grace, than his covering. I never want to be outside of that and outside of his will for what? Something that's going to be spent and gone?
Let me tell you something. You know, when you said that, that brings a scripture to my mind. When Jesus was talking to, when Jesus was saying that, unless you take of my body and take of my flesh, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, and how everybody, all the other disciples, the other 52 disciples, they just walked away. Yeah. They're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
The other 52 disciples. So they walked away. And he was like, they was like, wait a minute. What is Jesus talking about? He crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But then he turned to the other 12, the 12 that stayed, he turned to him and said, y'all ain't going to leave too?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, where will we go?
Yeah.
They said, you have the words of life. They said, man, we ain't going nowhere. You know, and then it take you back to Elijah and Elisha. Elisha, whoever you want to call him. It take you back there, and Elijah was just trying to leave him. Go ahead. You stay here. I'm going further. He's like, nah, cuz. Wherever you go, I'm going. He said, don't get it twisted. He said, don't get it twisted. You know, you ain't going away without me.
That's right.
That's the bottom line.
That's right.
Because Stone Cold said so. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? He said, I ain't going away.
Yeah.
You know, but that is the thing that God is looking for.
That's right.
We start talking about faith and stuff, you know what I'm saying? And yes, it's the simplest of things, hopeful and evidence of things not seen, but the testing of your faith produces patience.
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm.
But it goes further. That scripture goes further. And it's James, the first chapter, the third and the fourth verse. And it said the testing of your faith produces patience. Mm. But it goes further. They say, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Nothing.
He ain't say some things you're going to lack.
Right.
He said, but if you be patient, the way I was patient with you, you ain't gonna lack nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Not some things, but no thing. Everything you need is gonna be at your disposal. But you gotta let that faith have a perfect work in you.
Mm.
God said, I'm not trying to take nothing from you. I'm trying to get everything to you, but I can't get it to you overnight.
Wait a minute. Pause that. That comes back to the second part of that testimony. Reinhard Bonnke died in 2019, I believe. He was 79 years old, about to turn 80, I believe. His recorded, there's recorded documents that say there were 79 million souls that came to Christ under his ministry by the time he died. So you just said not overnight. He was in ministry a long time.
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen overnight.
Because God got to flush some things out before he gets some things to you. He said, I got to clean you up before I give you this. Yeah. He said, if I give you $1 million and you just coming out of the world, he said, you're going to go right back into it.
Right back in, trying he's, to look like
he said,
like
he's, yeah, yeah, because you flexing, you flossing now. You know what I'm saying? God can't give you everything like right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He said, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He said, I could because I'm God. He said, but I won't because I love you.
That's right.
He said, and if I give it to you, it'll kill you.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? When God speak a word, it take time for that word to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be processed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to be processed. Because if you're not processed correctly, and don't get it wrong, you can take time and mess up stuff for yourself.
Yes.
He said, so I'm going to process you according to what you can receive. Mm-hmm. He said, I ain't going to push nothing on you that you can't handle. He said, I won't put no more on you than you can bear. He said, but I'm going to give you enough, but you're going to feel it. Mm-hmm. You're going to feel it. Mm-hmm. You're going to feel it. And it's going to take patience. It's going to take patience. It's going to take faith having that perfect work with patience to make you perfect and that you may lack nothing, that you may lack nothing. Without it, it is impossible to please God.
Mm-hmm.
Without that faith, it's impossible to please Him. God said, if any man come to me, he must believe that I am and that I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. Mm-hmm. He said, I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. He said, he said, squash all the other stuff. He said, I'm going to make it plain and simple for you. For any man to come to me, he must believe that I am. He said, as long as you believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek me.
That reminds me. Some may have their reward here. Remember when we was talking about the scripture, you know, when he talks about giving in secret and all of those things.
Yeah.
Because if you do it for man, you've received your reward.
Yeah, you see your reward already. He said, basically, don't let your left hand know what your right hand doing. Mm-hmm. He said, give, but give it in secret. Mm-hmm. He said, don't give it to let everybody know what you've done. He said, because when you do that, you already got yours.
Got your
he said, you might as well not even look for me to give it to you. He said, because they already gave it to you. He said, you won't get rewarded twice. He said, but if you do it in secret, I reward you openly.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So we don't understand the thing that God want to do so much in our lives. Mm. You know what I'm saying? He said, go ahead and brag if you want to. He said, I ain't going to take it from you. He said, but trust me, you already got what you're going to get.
You got it. You got what you was looking for.
I mean, that one person you wanted to say, that's what you got.
You say one person.
That one person you wanted to say, that's what
person,
you got.
That one person you wanted to see you.
You know what I'm saying? All my haters.
But that goes back to pride, and I think that's where we have to ask ourselves why we really do things. In other words, okay, did I just, and I don't have Instagram and I don't have Facebook other than the ministry page now, but if I post a picture in a certain way, use myself as an example, if I post a picture in a certain way and I got my backside to the camera, what was my real intention? Because I really want you to see my behind. You know what I'm saying? Or was I posting that vacation so you can really see that I do go somewhere? Or was I posting, you know, me kissing my husband because I really want you to believe that we are perfect match? Was I posting my kids because I want you to believe that I'm the perfect mother? Am I posting a ministry page because I really want you to believe that I'm close to God? And sometimes I think if we actually are honest with ourselves about things of why we do things and why we say things and why we want somebody to see something and why we want somebody to see what we did last week and yesterday and all this and that, you gotta find out if that's that pride you hadn't discerned yet.
You know, I think, I'm gonna say this. I've been blessed many times over.
Mm-hmm.
God has blessed me many times over. But some things I would never show.
Right.
Because I don't find the value in it. I don't really find the value in it. You know what I'm saying? I find value in what God do with me on this one, too, this personal level. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because my wife asked me a question yesterday. You remember the question you asked me yesterday? And we was talking about, I can't remember the exact, you said, what you want God to do for you this year?
That's I'm about to say, baby, I asked you a whole lot of questions.
You
do it. All day.
You ask me, you say, what you want God to do with you for you this year? Mm-hmm. And I said, perfect me for the work that he called me to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did.
You know, I'm going to say it like this. There are a lot of things that I want. Mm-hmm. But are they really necessary? Mm. Not only are they really necessary, are they more valuable than my purpose? Mm. And nothing is more valuable than my purpose. You know what I'm saying? Because if I fulfill my purpose, I have peace. Mm-hmm. If I fulfill my purpose, I have joy. If I fulfill my purpose, the very thing that God sent me on the earth to do, the very thing that he sent me as the thing, he said, my word shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish whereunto I send it. It shall do everything that I said it shall do. I'm a word. I need you to understand that you are a word. You're not here by happenstance. You're not here because some your mommy and daddy did do and made a baby. You know what I'm saying? You're here because God had a plan, purpose for you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to send you into the earth to do a certain thing. And when you complete your assignment, that's all I need you to do. I need you to complete your assignment. I just need you to complete your assignment. It's your purpose that gives your life meaning. If Jesus had not died on the cross, what would be the meaning of him living and just doing miracles? You know what I'm saying? We all would have been looking for one person to come through and do a miracle. He said, but when I go up to the Father, he said, I'm going to send somebody else that y'all can have multiple Jesuses in the earth. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? He said, I'm going to send my spirit. He said, I'm going to send my spirit that he can impart into millions. Mm. That y'all can be one of me. Mm. But many in the earth. My God. And there's more than enough of Jesus. Mm. That we all can have a piece of. Mm. He said all the miracles that he did, the world don't have enough books that can record them. They can't fit in the world. I'm talking about over 3.5 years. Now, we ain't talking about over 40 years. We're talking about over 3.5 years when the Holy Spirit came upon him and he received power to do the work, to do ministry. 3.5 years. Well, wait a minute. 3.5 years and Jesus did so many miracles that there ain't enough books that can be contained in the earth. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. But they are millions of people. But we can contain one Jesus. We can contain one Jesus. Oh my God. And we can achieve the same thing that he achieved as one person. But he didn't go all over the world. He was only in the house of the Jews. He was only where the Jews was at. You know what I'm saying? But he said, I'll make my spirit available. For the Gentiles. He said, for the Americans. You know what I'm saying? Making my spirit available to the Europeans. He said, I'm making my spirit available to the Asians. He said, I'm making my spirit available to the Indians. All right. We know he was in Africa already.
Yeah.
We know that's where he was at. He was over there in the Middle East. We know he was in Africa. But he said, I'm making my spirit available for every place else. Mm. So that they can receive everything that I am. He said, I just need somebody to embody me. Spirit to their spirit. And do what it is that I'm calling them to do. Purpose is what we're here for. Nothing else. Everything else is a plus. But if we fulfill that purpose, oh my God.
Let me ask you a question. We have been in rooms that nobody, no one knows of. And we have sat in front of millionaires. We have sat in front of kings and queens of Africa.
Yes.
You have seen people with money. You have seen people without money. From feeding the homeless. From feeding the homeless to buying tents for the homeless. You know, we've seen the lowest of the lowest and the highest of the highest as far as in the earth.
Yes.
Okay. Now that you've seen all of that, what would you say the difference is between the poor and the rich, or even the one with the highest titles that's considered to be the highest titles in the earth of kings and queens?
Mentality. All day.
Not the money.
No, mentality. You know what I'm saying? Because let me tell you something. Them ones that sitting there as kings and queens, they was broke. Their parents, the ones was kings and queens. No. They weren't nothing. They was children. Right. You know what I'm saying? I want you to understand that. Because we are children. Mm-hmm. I want you to understand this now. Because of who their parent was, that gave them position. Mm. So I want you to know, because of who your parent is, that'll give you position.
My God.
I mean, man. They when they was born, you know, we say they was born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Mm-hmm. Rah, 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 rah. They had butlers and this, that, and the third, and maids and things like that. They ain't never had to do nothing on their own, but let's have a look at it. They didn't have the money. They didn't have the prestige. That was their parent. It was one of their parents that had it. Mm-hmm. And that's what God is to us. He's a king of all kings.
So that mentality is they knew from which they came.
They know I can go to my father and he can give it to me.
Yeah.
They know the one that gave me life is the one that can put me in any position that I need to be in. That's just like us. The one that's given us life. He has the ability to put us in any position that he wants to. Any position. Mm. I might be in Columbia today. Don't necessarily mean I can't be in California tomorrow.
That's right.
I want you to understand, just because I'm down here, don't mean I can't be in Beverly Hills. Mm. Just like that, God can change
the impossible.
Anybody's mind. Somebody don't want to even bless you. They don't want to bless me. God said, I'll make them bless you anyhow. Somebody that don't even know you can call you up in a moment's notice and give you something, which is connections. You know, if you stay connected to the vine, God can always put you in a place that you know that you ain't got no business there. I ain't got no business over here. I'm talking about everything might make you feel uncomfortable. Wait a minute. Yeah. I'm sitting in here with governors and, wait a minute, prime ministers?
Judges.
I'm talking about you could be.
We've seen it. And that's the thing. It's like, when you've seen someone carry that weight, and when you've seen someone walking all of the things that you might even think you won't, I'll say the ones that I've seen were humble, because they understood what goes up can come down. It was a mindset of humility, and they're very, very careful about how they handle and steward what they have and who they got it from.
See, people don't just become kings just so easily. They had to go through some training. They schooling ain't like our schooling. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? We don't do school the same.
No.
We don't have the same lessons. But when God puts you in a place, you know what I'm saying? When he call you to a place, when God say this is what you're going to be from day one, before you was born, he said, all right, now they got to go through this regimen right here in order for them to get there. Mm-hmm. And you start from day one, when you conceived in the womb of your mama, you start from there. You already going through it. You already going through some stuff. Man, I don't even know what I'm going through. But God said, by 45, you're supposed to be this. Mm. Now, it's going to take 4 to 5 years for you to get there. Mm. There ain't no shortcuts.
Look at Moses.
He said, anybody come up by any other way, it's a liar and a thief. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's only one way. There's only one way. There's only one way. The process is real. Mm-hmm. And it's up to you how hard it is. Because it doesn't have to be hard if you are willing to yield. But if you're not, and Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered.
And it doesn't mean that you won't ever get there. Because there's plenty of times that I failed. There's plenty of times that I didn't get it right. There's plenty of times that pride led me to a lot of things. There's plenty of times that I didn't have the right mindset and the right or the willingness to lay down.
Sometimes God tell you to do something wrong.
I don't want to do that. Yeah.
God said, you picking and choosing what I want, what you gonna do.
Yeah.
He said, look, now he said, look, don't even worry about it. You're gonna delay your own process. Mm-hmm. He said, look, we can already be there.
Yeah.
He said, it's just this one more thing that you gotta do. This one more. Just mm-hmm. one more. He said, if you accomplish this one, he said, we can take you to the next level. He said, but you won't even do the one thing that I've been telling you to do for the last 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was me, you know. And so I can vouch for that. You know, you do end up delaying yourself. And you do, not just yourself, but the people that's attached to you. The people that's attached to you suffer as well. And you don't even realize it because you're too busy thinking about yourself and how something makes you feel. And you're not willing to give up what is not even yours. It's not even yours. Your day don't even belong to you. You know, but it's a process and it's a learning that I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for the mistakes because now I can value and honor God in a different way than I probably wouldn't have had I not learned his value, had I not understood what was on the other side of the disobedience, on the other side of the ignorance, on the other side of the, what do you call it, covenant. Because we can have godly covenants, but we can have evil covenants too.
True indeed.
Those covenants that you just choose that I'm going to rebel. Those covenants, you just choose that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going over there. I'm not saying that. Those are the things that you pay for.
If there was one word that I could use to sum up love, hope, and faith, all three words, if there was one word to sum up all of those words, it would be patient. Mm-hmm. If there was one thing that I could give you, it would say be patient. With that being said, y'all have a great day. We love y'all a lot.
Have a good one.